You got people praying for you before you get here that you can come and receive and be changed so that you can go out and minister as well as be ministered to. So today, I want to continue talking about I can receive from my Father. And as we've done in the past, I want you just to say that with me, please. I can receive from my Father. All right, let's say it one more time. I can receive from my Father. I want to go over a few scriptures that we have been using in this study, and there are going to be some that you heard last week, I believe, when Pastor Robert taught, at least two of them. And the Holy Spirit is really emphasizing some things about how we pray and how we receive. And so let me encourage you today, just open your heart up now. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 2, says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Seeing that, so it's things we're seeing, and that's going to be important to us today, what we're seeing. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us, granted means it's already done, everything pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Verse 4, "For by these He has granted us precious and magnificent promises." Those things that we have a legal right to reach out and take. Those things that we can require of the Lord. And I'm not saying that in an ugly manner. But we can speak to those things and tell them to come into our hands. And things that are of the devil that oppose it, then we also have the right to speak to those, to tell them to get out of the way. So to us, great are His precious and magnificent promises. So by those, we can become partakers. Oh, that is so important. He wants us to partake of that divine nature, because when we walk in that divine nature, we can literally reach out and take these promises just as He's told us to. 1 John 3:21-22. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." Confidence, a key word. Key word, we can go to Him boldly. I've said to you that's the same word as boldness. So we can go in boldness, we can go in confidence. We don't need to get on somebody else's coattail and go forward the throne. You can do it. I can do it right by myself. And that's what we want to do. We don't want you to be just dependent on us to pray. I know some churches kind of funnel people that way. But we want you to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then verse 22 there says, "And whatever we ask," and that's the word Pastor Robert taught on last week, "whatever we ask, whatever we command, whatever we request, whatever we require, because we know Him and we know His will, what do? We receive it." And that word for receive there is the Greek word lambano, and it literally means to take. It's translated to receive more than anything else, but it means to reach out and take hold of it. And we do that because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing to Him. And then we've looked at 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And here's that word confidence again. And this is a confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So if we don't know how to pray, or if we're not confident, where do we need to look? To the Word, to find those promises that we talked about in the first scripture that already belong to us so we can become partakers of it. And then we know that if He hears us in whatever we ask, then we know that we have the request which have been asked from Him. Now that word, that phrase there, "that we have," is E-H-C-O, Eho is how it's pronounced. It doesn't sound like that, but look like it, but that's how it's saying. And it literally means to have or to hold. So it's akin to receive, except one is an action, and this one means you've got it and you're holding on to it. But there's a key word that we've talked about each week that I've taught about that one. That means you've made room for it. You've opened yourself up to hear the good news, and you've made room to receive that promise that He has. It's in my notes later, but I'm going to go ahead and tell this now. We were praying for some people Sunday morning after church. And Bruce's wife, Marcia, and Miss Shannon were praying. I'd prayed for somebody, and I just walked over. And we began praying for a lady who's had a lot of bad things come against her, particularly of late. And Shannon prayed for her and said exactly what needed to be said. And as she was talking, I heard the Lord say, "Tell her of the increase of my kingdom, there is no end." So I told her that. And what He told me as I was telling her that is to say to her, "That's what I want you to focus on. I don't want you to focus on the bad that's happening to you. I want you to focus on my kingdom and its increase." And where is that kingdom reside? In you, in I, in her. So if she's looking at that kingdom increasing in her, then what the Lord said is, as you do this, you're going to discover there's no room for all the things that have come against you. It's just going to fill you up to an overflowing, so that everything you've been believing for, when you start looking at it versus stop looking at the things that are going wrong, why is this, what's happening, then you're going to see a change, and a productive change. And that's right in line with what the Lord has given me to teach this morning. But the last time I talked, we talked about, do I ask or do I command? Do I pray or do I say? Again, talking about that word, giving some examples. And what did we see? Obstacles that are in our way, Jesus, the Master, told us, you speak to them like I do, and they will be removed. So if He's speaking to things, then we ought to be speaking to things. Yeah, folks are going to look at us and say, that's strange, that doesn't make any sense. But what does that do for us? It makes faith for us. I don't want things to make sense. I just want them to work in that spirit realm. And we also saw that there were times where Jesus asked, and He said, ask the Father in my name, and the Father will give it to you. So we see opportunities to say and to pray, to require in prayer, and to command that darkness that it must leave. So I want to kind of continue on today. I have shared what I'm going to talk about today probably 4 to 5 years ago. I actually think we probably did it over in the House of Expectation, if my memory is correct. But during worship Sunday morning, the Lord dropped this phrase into my heart, and then I immediately knew what He wanted me to teach this week. And what He said was, shut the door. So the title of what we're going to talk about is Shut the Door. And I want it to be an encouragement to you. I want it to be an encouragement that there are things we can do to position ourselves to receive more readily. And in sharing this morning, I just want it to encourage everybody to be able to step out and increase in the kingdom with that true knowledge of the Lord as He's told us. So I want you to look with me at Colossians, the first chapter. And we're going to look at 6 verses here, starting in verse 3, and then we'll jump down to verse 9. I guess it's 7, actually. But we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So this is Paul talking to the people of Colossae. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints, we ought to desire that the Father and that Jesus would say the same thing about us. That He sees the love, He sees the faith, because He sees us in action doing His word. And it's because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, or the gospel about Jesus, which has come to you, as they Paul brought it to them, just as in all the world also. And look what this gospel is doing when we are working it, when we are doing the works that Jesus did. It's constantly bearing fruit and increasing. Isn't that just what we were talking about? Even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. So wouldn't you like that to be said about you? You're doing good. We see the love. We see the fruit coming forth. But I want to pick back up in verse 9 and say, yet, look what the Lord said. He says, for this reason, since the day we've heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. And here we are back again, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Glory to God. They're praying that you've done more, you've done great. Now let's see more. And in doing so, we're going to be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And these are the words that the Lord really wanted me to focus on, I think, today. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Now let me stop here I'll go ahead and say, and joyously. We're supposed to do those things with joy. Patience with joy, being steadfast when things are coming against us with joy. That's what this verse is saying. Now go ahead and let me read 12 and then we'll come back to 11. Giving thanks to the Father. When? As Pastor Trey likes to say, when we're on the Egypt side of the Red Sea, okay? Before we cross it, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. Glory to God. Now, go back to verse 11. For the attaining of all steadfastness, feet firm, fixed, immovable, take my eyes off of it. Not going to be swayed by what I hear others saying. And then there's patience. And I'm not talking about patience being twiddling your thumbs while we wait. A better word here would be perseverance. Strong. Seeing it through to the very end. And we do that what? With joy. Now, someday we'll talk about entering into His rest, because I have learned that when I can do these things joyously, that's when I'm entering into His rest. And you know what? I can increase during times when I think the pressure's going to overwhelm me. I can grow in those times. So today, I just want us to be able to bear more fruit in every good work, getting the results that Pastor Roberts talked about when we require, when we command things in prayer, speaking to things and seeing them work. And it all comes back to increasing in the knowledge of God. So these two things I want to say, steadfastness and patience or perseverance, go together. You can't just do one and without the other. They really strengthen each other, and that's what enables you to stand. So my encouragement today is, let's not get satisfied with where we are. We may have prayed for somebody in the past week and seen them walking free. And glory to God that we see that. But let's not get satisfied just to see one. Let's just have this desire to usher in, even this revival that's going to take place in Middle Georgia. Let's create such an excitement by the Lord working through you and I, that we see that dinner bell ringing to call all the folks who need to go here and come to Jesus, but that we're doing it through signs and wonders, doing the work that He's caused us to do. Now, I made a statement a couple of times in this previous three sessions, and what I said was, what you behold, now you can behold by seeing or you can behold by hearing. So what you're looking at or hearing is what you're making room for inside you. You're allowing it to get into you. And I'm not talking about you just hear something once. This can work for you and it can work against you. But when we do that, we make room for it. And if we continue to do it, what we make room for then, we begin to give power to. In other words, we allow it to influence our heart and certainly our mind. And that's where the devil tries to work with evil thoughts on us so very often. So I want you to turn today. We're going to look in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. We're going to look at two different accounts. And one of them, you're going to say, what does this have to do with healing? And just be patient, because if you don't see it as I expect you to, we'll point it out. And then we're going to look at another one that pertains more directly to healing. And the title again of what we're going to be talking about is Shut the Door. So 2 Kings 4, verse 1. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha. Many people think that this woman is the wife of Obadiah. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Verse 2, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? I'm pausing for effect. What limitations did Elisha place on what she could ask for? Do we have high expectations when we have needs, or even when we are praying for others? Maybe we don't sense specific needs. Don't limit God. And you say, well, how can we limit God? Well, Psalm 78, verse 41 says, talking about the children of Israel, that they limited him. What that literally means is that word limited is the word to mark in the sand, as if you would draw a line in the sand. And you ladies may not remember this, but I bet you Wade and some of us other guys do, when people might challenge you and they'd draw a line in the sand and say, I dare you. In fact, we might get a double dog dare, whatever that means, to step over that line. That's literally what it meant, is they could not, they drew a line in the sand and they were not willing to step over it to what God heard. So we can limit God, but here, the prophet Elisha is saying to her, what shall I do for you? No limitations. And it continues. And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house. He asked first then, tell me, what do you have in the house? So my guess is when he said that to her, it was silence. Nothing. And then so he asked her, what do you have in the house? And look what she says. Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Now you need to know that that word jar there doesn't mean like a quart mason jar. It literally means a flask. What you might have seen in movies, because I know none of us ever carried one, a flask that you would pour alcohol into and be able to hide it in a pocket. So it's something very small. And she's saying, that's all I got. And I can hear her saying it as if, gosh, it's not worth anything. Well, in my hands it may be not. But in the Lord's hands, let's look what happens. So then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from how many neighbors? All of your neighbors. So what's he encouraging her to do? To have high expectations and get empty ones and don't get a few. No limits. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons. And then you're going to pour out into all these vessels. You shall set aside what is full. Now, what is she pouring from? That flask. And yet she's got jugs and bigger jugs and a lot of jugs, hopefully. So she went in from him and she shut the door behind her and her sons. So let's pause there. Why do you think the prophet told her to shut the door? Do you think that when her sons went to gather those things from her neighbors and they saw them going to everybody's house, that they might have been just trailing those boys right back to look in and say, what in the world is she going to do? And then if they were to see her taking that flask up and getting ready to pour, what do you think might have come out of their mouth? You're wasting your time. What in creation are you doing? This is foolishness. The same thing that the world may tell you when you know you've heard from God concerning your healing. Sometime you need to shut that door. Because two things. You don't want them saying it so that you have to hear it. And if you were to hear it, you don't want to keep hearing it because you're probably having thoughts already. So what he's telling them is, go get with me, basically. And isn't that what Jesus instructed us in the New Testament? Go in your closet and prayer closet and what? Shut the door. So what are you focusing on? Are you going to focus on the words the prophet said about pouring from that flask? Or are you going to listen to all the other things that people are saying? And can I tell you that for many of us, the people who often love us the most in the natural, in this flesh, are the ones saying those things to us? What did Jesus do with Jairus' daughter? Cleared him out and shut the door. So I think there's a lesson to be learned there. It continues and says, they were bringing the vessel to her, and she did what? So that indicates she's pouring into multiple vessels. And every time she tips over that thing that held a few fluid ounces, more kept what? Coming out. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. Now let's stay right here a second. Who determined the magnitude of the blessing that the Lord wanted to give to this lady? She did. She totally, by the number of vessels she had. Now, I'm not knocking her. That may have been all she needed. But I want us to see that this example, this account that I really believe happened, is showing us clearly we are the ones who often limit what the Lord wants to do. Maybe you wouldn't, but I am constantly amazed at the numbers of people who will come for prayer and say, I've got 1, 2, and 3 that's wrong with me, but if you'll pray for number 1, I'll be okay. I can live with the other 2. That is not the heart of the Lord, and we see that clearly in what is being taught here. Have your expectations high. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Now, do you see how, even if she had poured, gathered more vessels and filled them up, she would have had more blessing in her hands on which to live the future life? Verse 8. Let's just stop there. You may be saying, well, what does this have to do with healing? But I bet you see it. We can limit what we expect. Lord, if I can get rid of this pain, I can put up with this pain over here. Or this little headache is not a big deal, but where I hurt my foot, it hurts really bad. Don't limit God. And equally as much, don't limit what God wants to do for other people. Have the Elijah kind of attitude when you go to pray for healing for people. Gather it together, everything you want. Let's get it done. Now, there may be times that the Lord tells you and speaks to you, as he has to me, when a person comes with a laundry list. It may be better to say, what's most important to you? Or better yet, I've heard this done and have practiced it, going into a hospital and had a nurse or doctor, and I would say, what's the most important thing we need to be praying for this person who was real near death? And they would say something about a heart or infections, or and you'd aim at that. And then once you knocked that one off the table and had it move, then you could go back and deal with the rest of them. But let these seven verses be an encouragement to us that we can have huge expectations, not just in one area. Great and precious promises already been made, already been paid for. And what we need to do is what? Take them. Just remember, shutting the door may be an important part. So now I want to go into one that's more obviously, and there's a lot of scripture we want to read in this one chapter. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem. Now Shunem was a small town, and it was in the area of land given to the tribe of Issachar. So let me ask all you Bible scholars, what was the tribe of Issachar known for? What was the blessing that was spoken over them? That they would know times and seasons, movements of the Lord, if I can use that phrase, that they would be able to sense and know those things. That's why they might have received Jesus when Jesus said, the rest of you have no idea what I'm here for. But these people could had the insight to the heart of the Lord on what was happening. So there was a prominent woman. That means she was blessed. That's important. That's why we all want to be blessed, because she's about to be a blessing. And she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. Verse 9. And here's that knowing of the tribe of Issachar, that perception. She said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. She could perceive the presence of God, is the way I would say it, on Elisha. And she knew that was important. So here's what she asked her husband. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set up a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and it shall be when he comes to us. Now that's an important phrase. Not if he comes to us, when he comes to us. So let me just say to you, don't say, if the anointing comes on me, when the anointing is already on you. It is manifesting. So she had that knowing. Now remember, this is old covenant, and it makes this account even more impressive. All right, the 11th verse. One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite, call this woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. He said to Gehazi, say now to her. Now the picture I have in this, and I could be wrong, but this is the room that she made for him on this side of the podium here. And it says that she came to the room. It doesn't say she came into it. So I'm assuming she's standing outside. Gehazi is kind of the intermediary. Now, what do we know is different about today? We walk in how? Boldly, confidently, to that throne of grace. So now Elisha is saying to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? So I want to ask you with this account, what limit has the prophet placed on what she can ask? Has the Lord placed any limits today on what you can ask Him? Selah. And then he asked her, and again, I feel like it was probably silence, crickets, would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army? And look at her response. And she answered and said, I live among my own people. Now, I read that to say, no, I'm pretty satisfied. I'm here amongst my people. Things are good. I've got pretty much what I need. What else could I possibly want? So he said then, turning to Gehazi, and said, what then is to be done for her? And he answered, truly she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. So obviously some time had gone by. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway, as I kind of explained earlier. Then he said, at this season, now again, it's tribe of Issachar, and words matter. At this season, she had recognized what season it was to build this upper room for this holy man. And look, she's being having something promised to her in a season. At this season next year, you will embrace a son. Now, you would have thought she'd have jumped for joy. But look at her response. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. She knew that between her and her husband, there was no son to be had. And it was almost like she didn't want to get her hope up. But 17, the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, just as Elisha had said to her. So can you see how, when that happened, the words that Elisha had spoken to her just became rock solid in her? Everything Elisha was saying, I can see her being tuned into it, just like you and I are when we read the word of the Lord concerning a matter. Now, that may be a profession of faith for some of us, including me, but that's how we are to be. Verse 18, so when the child was grown, I perceived this to be when he went through bar mitzvah, so about 12, the day came that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to the father, my head, my head. Now, I don't know whether it was a heat stroke or what was going on. Really doesn't matter. And he, the father, said to the servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. Now, just put yourself in her shoes for a minute. You know, I can only imagine my reaction. So she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. She didn't sit there moaning and groaning and bemoaning all that had happened to her. She got up, and if I can say it this way, she took that lifeless body to where the presence of God had been. And look at this next phrase. And she shut the door behind him and went out. So I would ask this question. Why would she shut the door behind him? And I think the answer is very similar. And so let's just keep that there, and then you'll see the answer as we go through. 22. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of my servants and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and return. Now, she was looking at about a 4 to 6 hour ride, 16 to 20 miles, so a hard ride on that donkey to get to Carmel. And look at what the husband said. Why will you go to him today? It's not a new moon or it's a Sabbath. Stop there. That'd be kind of like somebody, you're selling somebody. Well, I'm going to healing school on Thursday morning. And somebody would say, why are you doing that? Because you know something. And you know the presence of God can change things. And you know the word alive in you can change things. So look how she responds to her husband. It will be well. Do you know what she literally told him? Now, somebody responded the same way to me this morning when I asked how they were doing. What she literally said to him was shalom, the Hebrew word for peace. Let me just make sure you appreciate the breadth of that word. It's not just a hello. It means safe, happy, health, prosperity, and peace. That's why we say a lot, and I like this phrase, nothing missing, nothing broken. It is well with my body. It is well with my body. That was her response. Now, why do you think she said that to her husband? Who is the initiator of this whole series of events? It's her, not her husband. She's the one perceiving the times and the seasons. She's the one that's initiated. So what's implicated here is that she says shalom for two reasons. Number one is that's what she believed. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And number two, she knew if she'd told him what had really happened and what she was going to do, he'd fall apart like a cheap suit. Knew he didn't have faith for this. So that's why I believe, back to the beginning, she shut the door to keep the servants and her family's mouth closed. Because you don't want anybody saying things over you that contradicts what you're professing. 24. Let me back up. Let me give you a scripture for that. James 2:14. Talks, you don't need to go there. Let me just talk about it. What's it talk about? Faith without works is... So let me say it this way. Faith without works is not productive. Now, what does works mean to you? Works should never mean just actions. Now, it may be. I would never tell you to throw away pills after I've prayed for you, for a matter. Only do that if the Lord speaks directly to you. But I would say to you, begin to confess. These pills will do what they were designed to do, and they will not harm me in Jesus' name. I would encourage you strongly to say what you've been saying over yourself continually. So I want you to see that saying something, speaking word, speaking life, is a part of faith with works. Proverbs 18:21 talks about the death and life. Now, notice the sequence to this. Death and life is what? In the power of the tongue. And those who love it, love the tongue, will eat its fruit. Can I say to you that this includes words that you know to speak of faith, but that we're too timid to sometimes? Not saying nothing is not speaking what you know. And sometimes we just need to have that little more confidence and boldness to step out and speak it. This woman is the epitome of boldness and confidence. She knows, as evidenced by the next verse, let's go back to 24 in 2 Kings 4. She knows that if she can get... Her faith is, if I can get to the prophet, my son is going to be okay. So in verse 24, she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." Now, stay right there for a minute. Why would she tell him this? Don't slow down for me. I believe another thing she's saying to the servant is, don't stop and let somebody engage us in a discussion. Why? For that same reason. I don't need to hear any garbage right now. Now, verse 25. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And when the man saw her at a distance. Now, as I was studying this yesterday, that phrase jumped out at me. And it immediately went to the father in the account of the prodigal son, who was doing what? Looking out for his son to come back. But can I say to you that your father is looking at you just to come to him, even in times where you don't have an urgent need that you're coming with? That's his heart so strong to you that he is looking out to have you come into his presence. So he beheld her at a distance. And then he said to Gehazi, "Behold, look at there, check it out, there's a Shunammite. Please now run to her, excuse me, and say to her, 'Is it well with you?'" Again, all those words is shalom. Can I read those one more time to you? Safe, happy, health, prosperity, peace. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And notice her answer to the man of God. It is well. The world would look at this and say, why'd she lie to him? She didn't. She spoke what was most real to him, saying, shalom. It's all good. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. 27. When she came to the man of God on the hill. So what does that tell you? She did not stop with Gehazi. I can see her almost riding that donkey right on by him as he's, wait a minute, and then he was, you know, talking to her, and she just keep on going. She goes to the man of God, and she catches hold of her feet, and Gehazi comes near to push her away, but Elisha said to him, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and not told me." Now, I think this is important because there are times where I've gone to pray for someone, and at the first moments, I don't hear exactly what's going on or what I need to be saying or professing. But this encourages me. Don't give up. You have that same, what? Perseverance, steadfastness. When you're looking to pray for somebody and you don't have the Lord's heart on it right yet, it'll come. So, next verse, 28. Then she said to him, "Did I ask a son from my Lord?" Now, what's the answer to that question? No, she did not. And then she says, "Did I not say, 'Don't deceive me'?" Literally, that says, "Don't lie to me." And that's basically what she responded to him. She said, "I didn't ask for this son. I just told you, don't lie to me." I can hear her thinking, God told you to say that. I know it. And so what she is doing is pouring out her heart, saying that the Lord gave me this child. Therefore, you did not lie, and you did not lie. Therefore, I still believe this child is mine. Now, in doing that, I know that Scripture, in saying that, I know some people say, well, that goes against Scripture. Job 1:21 says, Job is talking and he's going through his own bemoanings, and it says, I'm going to go down to the end of the second line, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away." And I hear that so much at many funerals. And if I hear it spoken over a child, and they say, "The Lord needed another angel," it causes me to cringe in ways that I can't express with words. you are so much more valuable to him than an angel. It's not even on the same scale. What do we know? John 10:10. The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life. And what kind of life does he want you to have? Abundance. High expectations. So let's go back to the account. And I believe we're on about 29 now. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. Now, what did the staff often represent? The authority. The presence of God was thought to be in that staff in some way. And he says to Gehazi, if you meet any man, don't salute him. If anyone salutes you, don't answer him. And lay my staff on the lad's face. So now we're into verse 30. And the mother of the lad says, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Now, this is verse 30. Now look at what she's saying. In essence, I believe she's saying, my faith is not in you putting a staff on him. My faith is what? You coming, and I'm going to stay with what I believe. She had shut the door on every other option, and she was depending on him to go back. And can I just tell you, the Lord will meet you where your faith is. The important thing here to me is Elisha got up and left. So now let's go to verse 31. So Gehazi passed on before him and laid the staff on the lad's face, but there was neither sound nor response. So he returned to meet him, and he told him, the lad has not awakened. So they're obviously continuing to go. Verse 32. When Elisha came into the house, he must have gone to his upper room. Behold, the lad was dead and was laid on his, Elisha's, bed, just like the woman had left him. So he entered, this great man of God, with all his faith, the prophetic words that came through him, the power that was demonstrated more than Elijah. So he entered and did what? Shut the door, left them both outside, and he prayed to the Lord. And when he went up and lay on the child, so he must have gotten an instruction, he put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Now stay right there. This is the second time that something could have happened when he laid the staff on him. But Elisha doesn't give up. How do you think Mama's doing outside that shut door? I think she's just as strong as when she shut that door and was determined, I'm getting my boy back. 35. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth and went up and stretched himself on him again, I would say. And the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. Verse 36. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Then he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she came into him, he said, take up your son. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there and look at me. What would you ladies have done? Would you have gone and picked up that child and started loving on him and being so thankful? Verse 37. Then she went in and fell at his feet, Elisha, and bowed herself to the ground. In other words, she went in and worshiped the man of God, the Lord, who had empowered him. Then she took up her son and went out. That just reinforces to me when she shut that door the first time, she knew that boy was coming out of that room. No ifs, ands, or buts. You know, in 2 Kings 8, 4 through 6, there's been a famine in the land, and this same lady has gone with her husband to the land of the Philistines, and she comes in to try to convince the king to give her back her land. And verse 4 picks up and says, "Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, 'Please relate all to me the great things that Elisha has done.'" 5. "And as he was relating to the king how he had restored to life the one who was dead, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appeared to the king for her house and for her field. And Gehazi said, 'My lord, O king, this is that woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life.'" Now stop there. Circumstance or understanding times and seasons and being led of the Lord. Put in the right place at the right time. There's somebody here today that is just thinking, "Why can't I ever be at that right place? Why can't I find that right person who helped me in this problem I've got?" You got a verse to stand on from here. He is no respecter of persons, and if he did it for her, if you'll listen to him, he'll tell you when to go, whom to go to, and that matter will be taken care of. Then verse 6, when the king asked the woman, she related it to him. She gave her his version. Can you imagine that testimony? I bet it took more than that one sentence Elisha said. So the king appointed her for her a certain officer, saying, "Restore." That's a key word. "All that was hers and all the produce of the field from the day she left until now, exceeding abundantly above, our God, a God of restoration, desires to restore our body." Now, I want to go through real quickly, 6 verses, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2 Timothy 1:13. And just let me read them to you quickly. "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." The Amplified says, "Hold fast and follow the pattern of sound teaching, of wholesome and sound teaching you've heard from me, in all the faith that are in love which is in Christ Jesus." That word for pattern there is hupo, which means under, and how to pronounce that other word, tupos, which means a dye or a mold. And you, what do you do with a dye or a mold? You pour something in it, it hardens, you take it out, and you have a visible object. So that pattern is saying the things that you see in the words I've spoken to you, that revelation, hold on to them. Proverbs 3:26. "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." That's talking about keeping your foot out of a snare, like a trap would be set for an animal or for a bird. You can be confident in your Lord as He sustains you, as He tells you how to stand firm and with perseverance, that you'll do the right thing, and He will keep your mouth, I'm going to say, from becoming a trap that ensnares you. Don't say, "I can't keep my mouth shut." Don't say, "I got to say this." No, you don't. And we're all learning that. Hebrews 10:23. "Let us hold fast the confession or profession of our faith without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." It is well. Next person she sees, it is well. She looks at her son alive. It is well. Never changed. And then we look at Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away or cast away your confidence, which has what? A great reward. 36. For you have need of endurance, perseverance, that patience, so that when you have done the will of God, what is a big part of doing the will of God? Saying what you believe, but also shutting the door so that you're not constantly looking at the things, making room for them, and looking at them more, giving power to them, so that things of this earth do not dominate you. The only thing that dominates you is the word of the Lord. So that when you've done the will of God, you may receive, you may take, you've made room for it, you want to hold on to it. And then two more, and I'll quit. Philippians 1, 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Don't look at somebody else and see them as being perfected. See yourself as the Lord bringing to completion that which he has started in you. But what are you looking at? You're looking at this word. You're looking at the promise he's given you. You're not looking at what's behind that door. Now, I know I'm being redundant in that, but the Lord told me to teach it, so I'm going to be redundant. Finally, Philemon 1:6. And I'm going to read this to you. Let me read here, and then I'll read to you out of this one. I pray that the fellowship of your faith, fellowship, koinonia, one meaning of that word koinonia is partnership. Your partnership with the Holy Spirit, with the Father and the Son, which is obtained through faith. That's the only way you can go to them is in faith. May become effective through the knowledge of every good thing, which is in Christ Jesus. That's not what it says, does it? Which is in you, in Christ Jesus, for his sake. Let me read it to you out of the Passion. I pray for you that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. Saints, it is just time to receive. So let's go back where we started. I want you to say with me, I can receive from my Father. I will look at him. I will look at his word. And I will shut the door on the things of the earth that grab for my attention. Okay? Father, we thank you for the word today. Father, I've been obedient to the best of my ability to deliver what you've given me. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've ministered to each person individually exactly what they needed to hear. And that as we leave today, we can begin to shut the door on those things that have just tried to snare us, has tried to take us captive. And so we say, concerning my soul, my spirit, and my body, it is well with me. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you suffered that we might walk in this shalom that you've made available to us. We give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise, the honor, and the glory, and know that you glorify the Father with it. And it's in your name we say thank you, Lord. So be it. Thank you for joining us today. Again, we would love any testimonies. If you'll contact the church or message us on Facebook, we would love to hear about it. so that we can rejoice with you. We'll pray with you if you have prayer requests also.